Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, February 8th, the year of our Lord, 2026. This is the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. Again, welcome. It is a true joy to welcome you here to the podcast, and I pray our time together will be a time of revitalization, a time of peace and renewal. So with that in mind, let's begin, as is our custom and practice here on the podcast. We begin with a big, deep breath. So why don't you do that with me? Take in a big breath. And hold on to it. And then let it go. And then let's do that again. Take in that big breath, and I want you to hold it. Oh, just hold it, savor it, consider it for the gift that it is. And then let it out. And as you breathe, as you take in this breath of life, I encourage you to call to mind the people and places and situations, opportunities that fill you with joy, that light you up inside, those things for which you are most grateful. Perhaps name them, visualize them, and give thanks to God for all of it, for this life's breath, for all of these things that you've called to mind. They're all gifts. And so in this mindset of gratitude toward our God, let's begin together in worship.
Call to worship. You are the salt of the earth. We are called to bring flavor, healing, and hope to the world. You are the light of the world. We shine not for ourselves, but so God's glory may be seen. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. We will not hide the light God has placed within us. Let your light shine before others, that our lives may reflect God's love and truth. Christ calls us not to set aside God's ways, but to live them fully, with faithfulness and joy. Come, let us worship the one who calls us salt and light. We come to worship, ready to live the life Christ teaches. Scripture reading comes from Matthew 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
Gracious and merciful, great God Almighty, we come to you and we pray. We give you thanks for the gift of this, your good and living word, present with us, available to us. And so, God, as we join together around this word, we pray for some help. We pray that you would calm us. Bless us with a stillness of being, that you'd save us from misinterpretation and distraction so that we could hear you and respond to you. We pray this in your holy name and we say, Amen. Friends, we continue on this week in the fifth chapter of Matthew, the beginning of what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, this talk that Jesus gives on a hillside, a talk that Matthew spends chapters 5, 6, and 7, a story and a sermon he shares with us over those chapters, and a story that I take great comfort in, and I pray you will as well as we spend time with it. Last week, we got the opening lines of this sermon, the Beatitudes, the Blesseds, and we considered what it means to be blessed and what it truly means to be blessed as Jesus stands before sits before his 12 and then the others gathered, all of whom we consider to be disciples, those who have come to be in the presence of Jesus to hear what he says and respond to it. That is what it means to be blessed or fortunate, that when he says something like, blessed are the poor in spirit or blessed are the meek, it's not the impoverished spirit or the vulnerability that is the blessing. It's that as you are, where you are right now, if you are within the presence of the gospel of Jesus Christ, indeed you are blessed, and there is great hope for you now and forever. And so once we get to this 13th verse, he begins to expand then on what he has started with this blessedness. In verse 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot." And he further illustrates by saying, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Rather, they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house. He's beginning to show them the implications for their lives, what it means if they choose to persevere in this life of discipleship, to befriend Jesus, to abide with him, and seek to believe or be like him. There is a giftedness that comes with it, but it, like any gift that we receive, it's a matter of what we choose to do with it, to do about it. If you have been blessed with a savoriness, a flavorfulness of your spirit, in terms of his illustration about salt, salt being a seasoning or a flavoring, salt also being a preservative and perhaps even an antiseptic, that there is this great gift that salt is to the world in terms of the enhancement of flavor, the preservation of food and other things, this essential mineral, ubiquitous, right? Everywhere and available. But like so many things, it's a matter of what you choose to do with it. In that these individuals here, the 12 and this collection of humanity, he begins by telling them that you individuals, you blessed meek, you blessed poor in spirit, you who choose to persevere for the sake of what you're hearing right now, you will preserve the community. You will bring flavor and nutrient to the community in which you serve. But it's a choice. If you choose to keep the salt in the jar, if you keep it to yourself, if you're afraid to go out into the world and be salty, what good is that? Then it just becomes something that you lay down on the bed of a road, or something that a conquering army uses to destroy fields. You're trampled by the world that you've come to save. And so too with light. Similarly, and maybe a slightly easier illustration to understand, that they are all light. What they have been blessed with is an illumination of mind and spirit that can and should be shared with everyone. And perhaps first it is with the illustration of the lamp and the lampstand illuminating the room to begin where you are within your own home. You've heard and you've seen. You've seen the miracles. You've heard the teachings. You're beginning to talk amongst yourself and community on what it has meant to be a part of this nascent movement that's breaking in, the inbreaking of the kingdom of heaven. As he teaches time and time again, repent. The good news, come. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, fully present in Jesus, and we'll get to that in a minute. So there he is with these folks whom he has blessed in a variety of ways, beginning to encourage them as to what this vocation that they've been baptized into, welcomed into, that they are flavor and that they are preservation. They are a simple, humble, beautiful gift to the world. And in the new countenance that they will have, a brightness of spirit, is something that shouldn't be kept for themselves as a very personal spiritual journey, but is something that needs to first pour out into the walls of their own homes and then gathered into community. I mean, I think in our very pluralistic society, we can think of, oftentimes we think of in kind of polite suburban church settings in particular, it's, you know, have at it, do that Jesus thing all you want. Be a Christian, but just keep it to yourself. And that is completely contrary to what Jesus is saying. Now, I do say, because he'll get into misguided piety and brutal religious dogmatic, he's not encouraging folks to go out and beat people over the head to create yet another burden. But go out and be salt and light. Bring flavor. Bring sustenance. Bring new vision by the way you live. Less about being able to spout correct doctrine and more about living a life which is an example of life in the kingdom of the heavens. I hope that makes sense. But let's carry on. Hang in there with me. So let's go down to verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. This gets to the point I was just trying to make. This is the fulfillment. This is everything that has been a part of their tradition at the very foundation of who they are as a people, as practicing Jews. And he continues as he goes on into this ministry to confront the hypocrisy and the arrogance of those who have been given or assumed a certain amount of influence and power in the culture and in the religious order of things. So I'm going to read through a few verses. We'll talk just a little bit about it. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That initially can sound a little daunting. But when we blend that together with salt and light, when as they spend time and the more they spend time with Jesus and they hear the way he preaches as if he is the author of the law. He has wisdom and insight into their tradition and their scriptures and their sacraments and sacrifice that no one else seems to have. They, if they don't use the language necessarily, but hear him as the living word of God, the greatest of the prophets. He is the law. And so, to do what he says, to be like him, is to be in the absolute full expression and abiding in the law, to follow that way. And here's where I think he's really addressing the previous verses in the final verse we have for today. In verse 20, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and Pharisees talked a lot about law. They thought a lot about law. They interpreted the law in ways that benefited them financially, socially, but they didn't practice it in the manner of Jesus. And so his encouragement to those gathered on the hill that day, I believe, was to recall how any of y'all got here, the hope you had that if I laid hands on you, or if I spoke an encouraging word to you, you would understand that you have heard something from the divine, and it would change your life. And you wouldn't be able to shut up about it. You wouldn't be able to go back to old ways. You'd be able to smell the stink of hypocrisy wherever it popped up its head. And that to live in faith, in humility, with a very high regard for the history and the tradition and the law and the scriptures and the prophets and the prayers and the songs, always mindful of who the author is, and that for those who were blessed enough to walk in his footsteps and to hear the sound of his voice, that is the way. So that they could hear and see the scribes and the Pharisees in a different way. That they had found the more excellent way, the more true fulfillment of the law. Now, I pray I haven't rambled too much, but it might be too late for that. But I would love for you to spend some time today in consideration of what it means to be salt and light, what it means to be a practicing Christian, and try to push back any negative interpretations of what it means to be a Christian, or connotations or missteps, because certainly the Christian tradition is filled with scribes and Pharisees as well. I think I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. I want you to sit in that crowd on that day and hear the teacher speak to you. You, my friend, are salt of the earth. You, my friend, are the light of the world, uniquely gifted right where you are to go out and live into this good news that one has come to bring healing and hope. One has come to lead us into a transformed life, a life that embodies the character of Jesus Christ. Go out and actively do what is right, not on our own steam, not by our own power, but through the power of God's grace. We can live a life that aligns with this kingdom of God that Jesus talks about. There's tremendous good news here. It's simple and quite profound. Good news indeed, to which I say, Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're gathered here together in this moment, having spent a few minutes listening in to this sermon that Jesus preached so long ago. But we pray, oh God, that you would help us to understand that we are present in that moment every time we pause and reflect on the words that we've inherited. We're grateful. We're grateful for this gift. We call and we pray. And God, we confess that so often we don't live into the words of the sermon, that we lose our flavor. We keep it hidden. We hide our light for a variety of reasons, for fear of embarrassment, for our own perceived lack of knowledge and confidence. You know the various reasons. And you know the ways that we can be enraged or impulsive or overly meek and mild, the times when we've held back, when we ought to be generous, all this stuff, our sin. You know them even better than we do. But you encourage us to come to you in humility and in confession with our hands wide open, our pockets turned out, completely vulnerable before you. God, we come to you and we ask for your forgiveness and your grace. For your promise that if we do so, indeed we will receive the grace that we seek. And so here we are. We thank you for the forgiveness that we are given, the grace that we receive. And in this grace and in this forgiveness, we have petitions of prayer. God, we pray over this, your good and beautiful world. And as we scan the headlines and look at the world around us, it can be easy for us to lose heart. It seems that there is violence and corruption around every corner. And we feel powerless to do much of anything about it. And so we begin by calling to you. And we ask for your intervention. We pray that you would abide with, come into the hearts and minds of people in positions of power and influence, that they might more clearly see the world, that they would see it through your eyes and with your heart and respond accordingly. And we pray, God, for the folks that we meet on the street, people that sit next to us on the train or the bus or are stuck in traffic with us, the folks in line with us at the grocery store, all of these people, fellow travelers on this human journey, we pray for them. And we pray, oh God, for the courage to be salt and light to them. We pray that someone might come alongside of us and bring us that same salt and light. And Lord, we know that you're aware of the prayers of our hearts. You're aware of the prayers that we sometimes write down and keep in a journal or are folded on a sheet of paper. You know this prayer list. A list of joys and concerns, fears and hopes. And so we take a moment in this time of prayer, God, to share this list with you, to hand it to you, and sit quietly so that we might sense your presence, that we might hear your voice. Meet us in this silence, we pray. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. Help us to celebrate these gifts every day. And we pray, God, that you'll hear us as we join together in saying a prayer that we've inherited, a prayer you taught us. Hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so fully aware that we are salt and light, that we are sons and daughters of our Most High God, the God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you. Bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.